Get in on the discussion. 617-779-0985. The Sports Hub Hockey Show. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Welcome in to another edition of the Sports Hub Hockey Show. Our regular season finale today. And we've got the gang all in studio at 617-779-0985. We're here to take your calls, of course. Ryan Johnston, Judd Surratt, Bob Beers, back from the road. You guys have been traveling a lot. Back from the road, looking fresh, looking ready to go.
It's been a long month. It's been good, though. Some good destinations.
Yeah, you guys,
including Winnipeg.
You guys have spent a fair amount of time in Florida here in the past few weeks.
Oh, yeah, that too.
Not bad. We got a lot to get to today as the Bruins come into tonight's game against Ottawa, having lost three in a row for the first time since November. You know, it's funny, and over the course of the years that we've been doing this show on Saturday mornings, we have oftentimes, as we go through the season, had wild swings from one Saturday to the next, where you come in here on one Saturday morning, everybody's excited, and the Bruins have won a few in a row, and things are looking great, and then you'd come back the following Saturday, and like the Bruins had lost every game since the previous Saturday, and suddenly, you know, everybody's down, and and the callers are all ticked off about something. This season has been such a difference since that mid-November stretch started. We really haven't had a show where we've come in here and had anything to gripe about.
Until
today. And suddenly, three in a row, two games before the playoffs start, and there's been a bump in the road here. And I guess the question is, what has happened over the last week? Why are we sitting here having seen the Bruins lost three in a row to three potential playoff teams? I mean, that also weighs into it, because you got teams on this list. Philadelphia was in a situation where they're, you know, getting into must-win territory. Tampa Bay, obviously, trying to win the division against you. Florida in an absolute must-win game the other night. And those teams came out looking like they were in must-win situations, and the Bruins have not over the last 3 years.
I think that's part of it. I also think that in the big picture, this is some of the side effects of the rigorous schedule that you went through and how well you did in March and how well you pushed without key players in the lineup. And then the other thing, and Bob had brought it up when we were heading into the game in Florida, I think overall here in the last few games, the Bruins have not been up to the standard that they have set for themselves how they need to play. So I think if you look at those three things and you wrap them all up, put them in the machine, this is what you're going to get, 0-2-1 across a three-game road trip.
Yeah, no one thing to point at. I mean, you'd like to say, all right, here's what's wrong, and we'll fix it. You know, it's just, you know, you look, when we went into the month of March, we all knew what kind of schedule it was going to be, how difficult it was going to be. You said that they were predicted, you know, there were going to be injuries, there are going to be some of the bumps in the road. I mean, they played hard through this. Every time you expected kind of a letdown, they would come out and play a good game. You know, every time you expected, all right, this is kind of a, you know, I could see them letting down here maybe in this game. And it just didn't happen. They just kept coming. And, you know, it all wasn't perfect, but they found ways to compete and be there and, you know, get points. And it was pretty impressive. It's been a really impressive run for them. Now they've lost three games in a row, and they don't seem to have it, right? They don't seem to have that. You know, they're still battling. They battled in Philadelphia. They even battled in Florida, but it's not the same right now. And I do think that the injuries piling up has had something to do with it. The guys who have come back haven't been as sharp as you need them to be, and that's part of the reason why you wanted to get them back when you did, so that they can play some games before the playoffs start. I think some of the guys who have been have put this team on their back, so to speak, for a long time has been really important to them. You know, Brad Marchand has had an unbelievable season. You know, even Pastrnak's had a really good season. You know, those guys are trying to find their game right now. You know, that line hasn't been quite as they haven't been, you know, nearly as dominant as they've been in the past. And I firmly believe, you know, losing a guy like Nash and losing a guy like Corrali, your third and fourth line centers, you know, has a big effect when you've got to plug other people in there. So if you plug a David Backes in, it weakens you on the wing. If you plug, you know, somebody else in, it weakens you somewhere else. I mean, it's just, those areas right now are really lacking. And you hope that those guys are able to play. We're going to get a better indication when we go, you know, morning skate here today. And, you know, they're going to get a couple practices under their belt, hopefully early this week, between Rick Nash, Riley Nash, Sean Corrali. Hopefully those guys are all ready to go. And, you know, now you've got a much different team than you've had. And it's not, you know, a slight on the guys who have been there, because they've played hard. The guys who have been called upon, they've played hard. And that's a tribute to the depth that they've had. That's why they're in the position that they are. But we've become spoiled where three-game losing streak, what's going on? You know, every team's got to go through it. We just haven't seen it since November.
Yeah. I guess the,
it doesn't mean I'm not concerned a little bit.
Well,
I don't want to slough it off. I'm saying, yeah, there's concern. There's concern that the injured guys, you know, what they're going to look like when they do get back in the lineup. Are they going to get back in the lineup? The guys who have gotten back, are they going to be able to be polished enough when the season, when the postseason starts? You know, those are all areas that, you know, and that's not even taken into consideration the game itself and the little things that they need to work on and little things that need to improve. That's just kind of the overall picture.
Well, I guess the kind of the bigger question that comes up is, because the schedule has been so heavy starting with the beginning of March all the way through the end of the season, and, you know, even worse is that you've got this makeup game tomorrow night where, you know, you could have had even an extra day to rest up. Is, go back to last Sunday, and you mentioned, you know, coming back and getting the point against Philadelphia, which is big for this team, and we've seen them do that a lot this year and coming from behind. But during the course of that game, Bruce Cassidy was interviewed and said, "Yeah, it looks like we're running on fumes right now, and they're, you know, again nearing the end of this hellacious stretch, but." I guess, you know, I hear that, and the way that the team has played here over the last week or two, I look at it and say, are they running out of gas? You know, we kind of worried about some of the young guys maybe hitting a wall later on in the season. It hasn't happened for a lot of them. Now I'm starting to wonder, is it happening for the whole team? Like, has this buildup just been too much for them?
The wall is... You know, the rookie wall or the first-year guys, I mean, that was real, and everybody's hit it at a different time. You know, it's a matter of, you know, when you come through it and or if you do.
Sure.
So it looks like, you know, guys have kind of taken that next step. I mean, you always wonder how a younger player is going to play in the playoffs. A couple guys have gotten a taste of it. You know, McAvoy got a taste of it last year. Sean Corrali got a taste of it last year. Other guys got a taste of it in the American Hockey League, but not in the NHL. Hyne and DeBrus, players like that. You know, Donato's a first-year guy with it. So there's Grizzlick's played in the American Hockey League. So, you know, they've all kind of had different paths to where they are right now. So you're going to have different outcomes in how they handle things. But they're a concern. That's one portion of it. And then some of the older guys who have been through it and have been grinding away here. I already mentioned a couple of them, and I'm not putting Pastrnak in the older guys thing, but he's been there for every game this season. I don't think he's had a night off this year, and not that he would sit out a game, but he has not had a night off, and he hasn't been injured this year. He's been healthy. He's played. He's been dinged up here and there, but, you know, he's played every game. You know, Marchand's had a couple of, you know, instances, but over the last month or so, when Bergeron was out, you know, the things that Marchand was doing were unbelievable. I mean, you know, he had just a phenomenal month. So there's been a lot of pressure, a lot on their shoulders, and hopefully, I mean, there's part of me that wants that game tomorrow to mean something. There's another part of me that says I don't want it to mean anything, and then they can rest some people and get ready for most likely Thursday. I mean, the Celtics play Wednesday at home, right? So it's most likely going to be Thursday at home to start the playoffs.
And if memory serves, I think the Flyers are playing an afternoon game against the Rangers.
3 o'clock today. Yeah.
So we should know fairly early whether or not Sunday's going to be meaningful.
And well, it might be meaningful to the Bruins.
Correct.
That's the other part of it, right? I mean, it might not mean anything to Florida, but it might have meaning to the Bruins, depending on what Tampa does today.
So,
and with the Bruins Day.
Regardless, after Sunday, you're going to have 3 or 4 days to get yourself mentally and physically in the right spot for whomever you're going to face when you start the playoffs on Thursday.
You know, going into this weekend, you know, again, I think there's been speculation over the last few weeks about how much should the Bruins be pushing to try to win the division and things like that. Does it matter ultimately? Now I look at it and say, regardless of whether it means anything, these two games this weekend, like, do you feel like you have to at least get one right here? Do you feel like you have to, you know, get a win this, you know, if you can beats the Senators tonight, that was
Thursday,
and kind of
that's the one
that's the one
I wanted to get.
I mean, but you know, you go into this weekend and say, like, I want to see the team play. If they come out tonight and play like we expect them to play, then, you know, what happens tomorrow ultimately, you know, how much does it matter? How much, you know, how much effort do they put into it? Or do they decide, you know what, let's maybe give Marchand a rest, or let's give whoever a breather today rather than playing back-to-backs? You know, does the fact that they've lost three in a row change the mindset that they might have had going into this weekend?
I think they go for the win here today and then see what happens. I mean, you're going to know what the situation is, and then it's going to depend on your seeding. So, you know, let's play out the scenario, right? Let's say Tampa loses, Boston wins. Now Boston has a chance for first place in the division, and then your difference is playing either, you know, if you don't get first place, you play Toronto. If you do get first place, you play, as of today, you play Philadelphia. That could still be New Jersey. That could still be Columbus. So that is all going to be play out later today. So you kind of reevaluate it after what happens today. But I think that all hands on deck for tonight's game, going for the win. You know, I don't know if any injured guys will be back. Like I said, we'll find that out later this morning. Doubtful. Most of the guys hadn't skated yet. Nash and Riley Nash and Corrali hadn't skated yet. Rick Nash had been skating, but he hadn't had a practice yet. So I doubt that anybody comes back. You know, maybe Wingles, he only missed a couple of games since they sent Cave back. But, you know, you go into this game, you go into every game wanting to win, but you go into this game with a little more meaning. And then based on what happens with the other teams, and if tomorrow means nothing, well, then that obviously makes up your decision for it.
And let's go back to where we started, because you had sort of asked, well, what exactly happened on this road trip? I think for the Bruins tonight, for the Bruins this weekend, depending on what happens on Sunday and what ramifications that game may or may not have, get back to playing to your standards. That's what you want. That's what you want to see. And then let's see what happens, because you don't necessarily control your fate. If Tampa wins out, they have the tiebreaker. That's it. I don't know if you happen to see, by the way, the tiebreaker that's been instituted if the Flyers end up tying with the Panthers.
There's a chance that they could have the goal differential could be the same. The wins and regulation and overtime could be the same. The points could be the same. It could be the same in terms of their head-to-head matchup. I mean, at all.
it's incumbent upon, like, there has to be a two-goal differential in the Flyer-Ranger game today, and the other two have to both go to overtime, but the NHL decided at the last minute, we might need to have a tiebreaker game.
A play-in game with a playoff overtime.
Has that ever happened?
I don't think so. I think they just made up the rule this week. I don't know that there was there anything in place.
I mean, we've had different formats for playoffs and things, and you know, the row was instituted, you know, several years ago. The wins and regulation are overtime. I don't recall it ever happening.
Not off the top of my head, I can't remember a play-in game like this. I can't even imagine what would be going on in the ice in a game like that.
A lot has to happen for that to.
Yeah, it does, yeah. But yeah, I mean, that's, you know, the NHL. We've seen them do this before. You kind of have to adjust the rules on the fly sometimes if you get into a situation that you didn't expect.
Really, they're moving the lines on things.
Yeah, who would have expected? 617-779-0985. As we get started here on the Sports Hub Hockey Show,
you're listening to the Sports Hub Hockey Show on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Sports Hub Hockey Show. Ryan Johnston, Judd Surratt, Bob Beers. 617-779-0985 for your calls, of course, as we break down the Bruins' losses this week to Philadelphia, Tampa Bay, Florida, and get you ready for the matchup against Ottawa tonight, and then Florida coming in here for the makeup game on Sunday. We were, you know, just kind of mulling over the possibilities of a tiebreaker in the Eastern Conference, and then during the break we were going over in the Western Conference. Colorado and St. Louis are playing tonight for a playoff spot. I was going to say winner gets a playoff spot, but not necessarily. Regulation winner gets a playoff spot if Colorado wins. If it gets into overtime, St. Louis is going to either win the spot outright or is going to get the tiebreaker, right?
So, you could have a scenario in the third period where the game is tied and Colorado will pull their goaltender.
Because they have to win. They have to win in regulation.
Cannot let St. Louis get a point.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's that, you know, again, the NHL, because of the format and because of the tiebreakers and all that, it seems like there's always, you get down to that last game of the season, there's always at least one or two of those games where, you know, it's game seven for both teams, and you get an extra special playoff preview this evening. So,
you know, by the way, our producer, Howie Sylvester, is listening, I assume, because he said there's never been a play-in game in the NHL. The WHA had one in 1973 between Alberta and Minnesota.
Remember it well. I'm sure it goes down in the annals of history.
Howie said it was a great game. Minnesota was on fire that night.
Was he working that
Probably.
Game by chance? Yeah, it's so... again, there's a lot that has to happen before there would be one in the NHL, but it's a possibility that there could be an extra game this week. 617-779-0985. Let's get started with your phone calls this morning. Maria in Watertown is up first. Good morning, Maria.
Hi, guys. How are you this morning?
Good morning.
Good morning.
You know, my faith in the team has been a little bit shaken watching the last three games, and my concerns are a couple, one of which is, I think, has been an Achilles heel for this team for pretty much most of the season, which is playing from behind. I just don't think that you can continue doing that heading into the playoffs and hope to have a great deal of success when you're constantly chasing the game. My second concern is what I've been seeing on the back end of the ice, which we have seemed to have sprung leaks left and right, and my worry is, how much of an impact do you think losing Brandon Carlo is going to have on the ability to have some depth on your back end? Because honestly, I'm not liking what I've been seeing, and I'm a little scared going into the playoffs, because I don't think you can sustain long-term success playing the way that they have played the last three games, gentlemen. So I'd just like to get your thoughts on that. Thanks for the time. And thanks for a great regular season. Looking forward to the playoff talk. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Maria.
Thank you.
All right. Let's start with the playing from behind, because this is something that has happened. It is amazing, honestly, the success that this team has had. You know, and look, there's some of this around the league we see. Like, you know, we think we talked about it earlier in the season that, like, there's a lot of leads in the NHL that are not safe on any given night. But for the Bruins to do it as consistently as they have, and some of the comebacks that they have been able to mount this year to get wins, or, like we saw last Sunday, to get points and have the success level that they've had, has been pretty amazing this year.
Well, I guess you got two different things here. First of all, for every team in the National Hockey League, statistically, if you score the first goal, you're going to win a preponderance of those games.
Yes.
The other thing is, you know, I would say for the bulk of the season that the Bruins have done a good job of starting on time. You know, here in the last maybe month and a half, maybe that's degraded a little bit, in part due to some of the things that we talked about right off the top. That's something that has to be rectified. You have to be able to start on time. You have to start when the puck drops. It's not just allowing the first goal or allowing the two goals. You have to start getting into that four-line rotation. That's about getting guys back into the lineup, starting to dictate tempo. Those are things that are going to be important in the playoffs. Hopefully they're able to rectify that when Thursday comes.
The other part of that is the defense, and this is certainly something that going into the postseason, you mentioned earlier, Bob, that some of the guys that have come back from injuries haven't quite been themselves. And I think certainly if you look at that game the other night, Zdeno Chara and Charlie McAvoy would be guys who are at the top of that list, in particular McAvoy, coming off of a serious knee injury that kept him out for a month. Is he going to be back to normal when it comes to the postseason? I think that's a big question.
Well, it was important to get him back for a couple of games prior too.
Sure.
You know, you didn't expect him to just step back in and be, you know, the guy he was prior to the injury. I certainly didn't. I mean, you know, that takes a little bit of time. You're timing back, the rust, knock that rust off. I mean, that's, you don't just step back and, you know, very few guys. I mean, you know, even Bergeron, I'm sure, would tell you there's a couple little things that he wants to improve and get back to where he was, you know, before, even though he's been pretty good since coming back, you know. But, you know, Chara, no question, no question that a little time off, and he's got some rust to his game. It didn't take a whole lot of time. But, you know, the pace of the game, you know, how quickly things happen out there to try to get back to that. You know, it was important for those guys in particular to get themselves back and play a couple games, even if they weren't strong games. Now, if it's happening in the playoffs, that's a little different story. But now, you know, I didn't expect it to happen overnight. You know, looking for a little bit of improvement as you move forward here, maybe over the weekend. But, you know, you certainly expect some bumps with those guys coming back. So I didn't think it was a big surprise. I'd like them to come back seamlessly and be good. But, I mean, I don't think it's overly realistic. I mean, especially a guy that's 41 years old coming back. I mean, McAvoy, I think, can recover a little more quickly, you know, just because of, and even though he was out a little longer, you know, you expect him to be able to recover a little more quickly. I know some people are talking about, well, he's wearing a knee brace and this and that, and it's a little, you know, foreign to him. Okay, well, you know, get used to it, figure it out, and you've got, you know, a couple more games this weekend, and you've got some good practice time coming up early part of the week before you have to play for real.
Well, despite the result in Tampa Bay, Charlie mentioned that he was encouraged by the way he felt, the way his game basically panned out across those 60 minutes. Could he have been better? Absolutely. I think that there were just a few reads that he felt in his mind he could have done a better job with overall. And those are the things, and that's the reason why he wanted to come back to get a few games before the playoffs started so he could try to, you know, sand off some of those kinks before the playoffs begin on Thursday.
Steve is in Hopkinton. Steve, you're up next here on the Sports Hub Hockey Show. Hey, Steve.
Yes.
What's up, man?
Okay, great. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know if I was going to be on. Okay, great. Well, first, I think Don Sweeney needs to be, you know, get a few accolades here. He's done a great job of giving us a great team that has gone a lot further than anyone thought. But on that note, what is up with Rick Nash? I mean, the people that I know in New York have told me that he's just a wannabe rental, and he disappears in the playoffs. Any thoughts on that? I'll let you guys talk. Thank you.
Appreciate the call. I mean, we don't know. I guess that's a big question surrounding this team right now is, what is the deal with Rick Nash? Where, you know, what's going on with him? Is he going to be back for the playoffs? If he does come back for the playoffs, what's he going to bring to the table? I think that's been a question since the trade happened. Was, you know, if you look back at his playoff history, it's not necessarily he's not necessarily been the same player that he has been in the regular season.
But I do think you got a distinction if you're going to talk about the Rangers and the Boston Bruins. He comes here not to be the guy,
yes,
which is what he was asked to be in New York. He's asked to be a piece in part of a championship team. So that's different. The expectations are different. It doesn't mean that you don't expect him to perform, but he doesn't have the burden of having to carry the team offensively in the playoffs. There are a lot of other guys that the Bruins can spread that out to. There are a lot of unknowns with his injury. It is encouraging that he is skating. If he participates in practice, that's another step forward. Coaches will always tell you, I can give you a timeline once he returns to practice. If he's there today, I would expect that Bruce Cassidy can give you a timeline.
Well, he skated, 3 days, give or take. I might be wrong on one of those days. I think it was 3 days, though, prior to this one coming up or coming into this morning. I don't know if he skated yesterday or not. I know the players themselves, you know, the team themselves were off, but injured guys, it might not apply to them. So the expectation is that he'll practice with the team today. I don't know that for certain, but the expectations of practice, as long as there's been no setbacks. And the nature of his injury, I don't know. There's been a lot of speculation for it, but I'm not going to sit here and speculate what it was. I mean, because they haven't said, and we don't know for sure. I mean, it could be anything. I know people have a strong feeling of what it is, but we don't know. So the fact that he's back skating, and they've given us no indication, so, you know, you're left to guess, I guess. But we'll find out this week. And what he does in the playoffs is up to him.
Right.
What he gives you in the playoffs is up to him. I mean, nobody can answer that question. You know, the expectation is for him to be good, more than a complimentary piece, even though he's not the guy, like you're saying. He's going to have to be a factor in different ways if this team's going to have a deep run.
Obviously, the speculation is that of a lot of people is that there's been a head injury. And we don't know if that's the case or not. It's just that it seems like, while the Bruins are not the most forthcoming team when it comes to injuries, period, that when they go total radio silence, as has been the case with Nash, that's generally been the indication.
Here's the fact, though. The day that they took him, said that he was going to be a scratch, We were at the morning skate.
He went through the entire morning skate. Yeah.
He went through the power play practice. Like, you know, they did power play work. He was in front of the net. He went through all that. He went through all the line rushes. It was in a full skate. He went through everything. And then we found out at, you know, whatever,
right,
4 o'clock
game,
or
right?
5
yeah.
o'clock or whatever it was, that, you know, Nash was going to be a scratch. So, you know, something happened in between that practice and during the day, and whether it was what you were just saying or whether it was something else, I don't know, but he looked like he was prepared to play.
The old Rondo slipping in the shower. I mean, it could be anything. All right, we'll get Sports Hub headlines here. Joe Haggerty is going to join us coming up as we continue on the Sports Hub Hockey Show.
This is where Boston talks hockey. The Sports Hub Hockey Show on the home of the Bees, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
It's the Sports Hub Hockey Show. Ryan Johnston, Judd Surratt, Bob Beers. And joined in studio now by NBC Sports Boston's Joe Haggerty as well.
Good morning, gentlemen. How's
morning.
Everybody?
Morning. Happy playoffs to you.
Yes. Looking forward to it.
We were just talking about, you know, Rick Nash, your question about that and, yeah, you know, and his potential availability for that. And as the guy said, we'll find out maybe a little bit more about that hopefully today.
I would expect he's going to skate this morning with the team. That was what Bruce had said over the last couple of days. He skated, I think, 3 days in a row back in Boston, you know, no issues, setbacks or anything like that. So I think the expectation was he was going to skate with the team today and, you know, he hadn't been ruled out from potentially playing in one of these games. They may wait, and if he's anywhere close to sort of playing, wait, you know, wait until the real bullets start flying in the playoffs. But I mean, it was fairly optimistic talk the last few days about him getting back in soon, and that's great news for the Bruins because he continues with the size, strength, experience, finishing ability next to Krejci, I think, be something they really desperately need because they're extremely young, extremely small, along with skilled and fast on the wing, and they need a player like that on the wing for sure.
I mean, they have lost Carlo. We know he's done for the year.
Yep.
Riley Nash takes the puck to the head. You know, Corrali's been out. Overall, you know, by the time Thursday rolls around and game one comes, what's the health of this team, do you think? I mean, and how, you know, again, hopefully nobody else goes down this weekend, as you got two games left. I mean, I watched that game last weekend against Florida, and Carlo goes down and Nash gets hurt. It's like, oh God, this is like worst case scenario, right?
Yeah.
It's like guys getting hurt in the last week of the season, and you know, there's maybe still something to play for this weekend. So what do you think the health of this team looks like by Thursday?
Well, I will find out more today. Riley Nash, it would see if it's just a matter, and I say just, if it's a matter of the 40 stitches, the swelling, the discomfort, all of that stuff, you would hope, I guess, it subsides by the time the playoffs start if he's not able to, you know, start skating and sort of get ready for it this weekend. So, you know, I think there's hope there that he's going to come back with Corrali. Who knows? He hasn't skated. You know, he's kind of in that limbo right now, so I don't know that you can count on him at this point. But we're projecting until Thursday, so there's a bunch of days in between now and then. But, you know, aside from that, the missing piece of Carlo on the back end that they're sort of trying to figure it out, whether it's going to be Holden, whether it's going to be McQuaid, both guys have kind of been going in and out and trying to find that, you know, right side partner for Torrey Krug. I think that's the one thing you're looking at right now and saying, you know, how is that injury going to affect them once the playoffs starts? Because that's the one, you know, for sure he is not going to be there, and you're going to have to find a solution for it.
I just find it a little bit funny that for the bulk of the season, Carlo has been a lightning rod, is maybe too strong.
I agree with you, John.
But he has
been a
bone of contention,
yeah,
that has been talked about with respect to the Bruins, and now he's absent, and now people miss him.
Yeah, and the 19, 20 minutes of steady play he was giving you every single night, the size and strength he has in the D zone, the ability to play
He didn't give it every night.
No,
he didn't, but he was playing better.
He was.
He was playing better. He's had a little more of a snarl. Second year issues this season.
Yep.
There's no question about it, and he's had trouble, you know, dealing with some mistakes that are made and how he handles it. But I don't think anybody can deny, if you really watch the games, that prior to his injury, he was playing with more snarl, if you want to use that word. I mean,
yeah,
he was in people's faces a little bit more. And he doesn't have to be Adam McQuaid. Nobody's asking him to be that. That's that, you know, you don't have to go that far, but you have to see something there you know, a little bit more, especially against more skilled players. And you know, we saw it against Pittsburgh. We saw it against several other teams where he was in their face a bit more. And that's what they were looking for, and you're starting to see it. You were starting to see it, and it was turning a corner. You know, it was like whether players, teammates got to him, whether coaches got to him, or whether he got to himself. You know, like, all right, I got to be a little bit more in these areas. And you know, you incorporate that with his ability to skate, his ability to make some plays when he's skating, and his skating ability is excellent. His feet are good. His, you know, he's got a good long reach. I mean, those are things you can't teach. Now you just need to incorporate a little bit more into his game, and you're starting to see it.
Well, and for him, I mean, it's awful that he's, you know, stays healthy throughout the entire regular season for last year and this year. It shows to be remarkably durable, and then something happens right at the end where he's not going to be able to play in the playoffs. It's a tough blow for him. I loved what he put on Instagram. He quoted Arnold Schwarzenegger and said, "I'll be back." So he's got a pretty good attitude about the whole thing.
Well, you and I, a few weeks ago, when everybody was on the road, you were in here, and we played the game of, if everybody's healthy, what do your lines look like, and what do your pairings look like? And Brandon Carlo was a guy that I had as my seventh D going into the playoffs. And I think, as we've seen over the past few weeks, I think he had changed that. I think he had gotten himself back into a position where he was going to be in the top six. But now, if you have your druthers, is it McQuaid or is it Holden that plays alongside Torrey Krug?
I think it depends on who you're playing. I think it depends on matchups. It depends on how you're moving the puck. It depends on if you need a more penalty kill help, a bigger, stronger presence in the defensive zone. I think it's going to come down to, you know, who they're playing and how they're playing as to who goes in there. And you may see both of them come in and out. I think it's going to be one of those kind of situations, because I don't know that you're going to find one of those guys to just ride with Krug no matter who you're playing, no matter what the situation is. You know, but I think the bigger point of plugging guys in, finding a replacement for Carlo, I think it speaks to what we've seen over the last three games, which is you've got guys coming in back in from injuries that are clearly rusty. You've got some guys that have carried a huge load over the last six weeks with guys hurt and the schedule the way it is. And I think they need a little bit of a rest. And I think you've seen the energy level in their games go down. I think just in general, they're at the tail end of that 21 games in 39 days stretch. They've been home maybe a handful of days over the last month. They've basically been on the road the entire time. I think there is a lot of weariness that was in that team's game over those three games. And it's not an excuse. I think it's just what I saw. And I think at times when you talked to some of the players and you pulled them aside, and even Cassidy admitted it a couple of times, that, you know, that's part of what's affecting them right now. And that's probably why they have not looked at times like they looked pretty much the entire season. I think that end of the year gauntlet kind of got to them a little bit. And, you know, there's also the, you know, at times probably not being able to match the intensity that other teams that were playing for their lives were playing with. You throw all that together, and I think that's a big part of what we've seen over the last three games.
It also speaks to, and a caller earlier, you know, brought up Don Sweeney and the job that he's done. You know, the Nick Holden acquisition probably goes, you know, under the radar for a lot of people who don't watch this team that closely. And yet here you are approaching the playoffs and Brandon Carlo goes down. And now this is a guy who may play a bigger role than some people expected when it comes to the postseason. Or, you know, you knew that the depth was going to be tested, especially if you go deep into the playoffs. Again, the guy who can play either side. You know, if somebody goes down, you have some flexibility there now, because even if he doesn't get the, if you go McQuaid and Krug, well, you have Holden who can take a spot on either side if he's required to.
Well, and they also learned from last year, right?
Yep.
You had Krug go down right before the playoff start. You had Carlo go down right before the playoff start. You had McQuaid go down in the playoffs. You had Colin Miller go down in the playoffs. You lost a ton of your defensemen, a ton of your top four guys last season, and I think the lesson was learned by Don Sweeney at the Bruins that you cannot have enough defensemen, you cannot have enough depth at that position, especially when the attrition starts towards the end of the regular season and into the playoffs. All of those guys are going to play if you're in it long enough, and if you're really unlucky, all those guys might be playing to start as you're waiting for healthy guys to get back. So, and not only did he do it there, but he did it at the other positions too. He got another guy that can play center that's a veteran. He got another guy in Jonta that can play wing. And, you know, he really fortified his position because, you know, part of what we've seen over the last few games too, I think, is that and Bruce Cassidy pointed this out after Tampa. He said Tampa Bay, after that loss, some of the young guys got a little bit of an education here. And I think it was sort of a learning lesson for them that the intensity needed to be ramped up and they needed to be a little bit better. And I think that's why they kind of went out and hedged their bets by getting some of these veterans in case that continues to happen in the playoffs.
Joe Haggerty, NBC Sports Boston, is joining us in studio. We will continue with him as we continue with the Sports Hub Hockey Show.
This is the Sports Hub Hockey Show with Ryan Johnston, Judd Zerai, and Bob Beers on the home of the Bees, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
617-779-0985. It's the Sports Hub Hockey Show. We'll get back to your calls here after the headlines coming up in a few minutes. Ryan Johnston, Judd Zerai, Bob Beers, and now Joe Haggerty joining us in studio as well from NBC Sports Boston. Because you are who you are and some of the things that you have said in the past.
Oh, boy. Here
we
go.
The question that I have for you, as goaded by some of my Twitter followers earlier this week, is...
Okay.
Playoffs start Thursday.
Yeah.
What is your confidence level in the goaltender?
He was good in Florida. I thought he was very good. And if they don't play Tuukka at all this weekend, and that's the sort of final note that he goes out on to start the playoffs, I think you feel pretty good, at least to start.
I'd be surprised if he doesn't play one of the games this weekend. I'd be surprised probably if he doesn't play today, actually. I mean, I expect him to play today.
With something still on the line with Tampa.
Not only that, but if then you get him a whole week off without playing, no. You want him to play at least one game this weekend.
Yeah, and I know they were kicking that around last week as to what they were going to do.
I would be surprised if he didn't play a game this weekend.
Yeah. Yeah, oh, I know Bruce had talked.
You play Thursday, and then you don't play again until this coming Thursday.
Yeah, yeah.
A full week off. And,
yep.
You know, there's going to be some days off coming up this week. You already had a day off yesterday. I fully expect him to play, at least whether it's today or tomorrow. I don't know, but
I would think if he's going to play,
I would think today,
right? With Tampa still not having clinched, and then maybe you reevaluate tomorrow. And I was looking at that actually the other day. He's at 53 games, so he's still.
I'd be shocked if he didn't play today.
He's still even ahead of that, projected 55 to 60 that they wanted to get him in. So he's exactly right, rest-wise, where they wanted him to be. But I know that's something they were kicking around as to what they were going to do, in the middle of the road trip, whether they were going to rest him, whether they were going to play him. It does make sense. So he doesn't have too much rest going into Thursday night for sure. Getting back to the question, I feel okay at this point, If the Bruins play like they've played for the majority of the season, and if Tuukka plays like he's played on most nights, they're going to be perfectly okay. Now, is there a little bit of reservation in the back of your mind when it's a big game against Tampa and, it's a game where he couldn't maybe elevate things in the second period? Obviously, he was good in the first. They had 17 shots on net. But the first couple goals he gave up, especially the first one in the second period against Tampa, when the Bruins started to get their game together and started to, piece it back together and maybe we're going to try to claw back in. That's a killer when you give up that kind of goal. So, it was a big game. It wasn't great for him. So you have that in the back of your mind. But he's been largely good this year, and he's well-rested. There are no injuries. There's no reason why he shouldn't be good. Now it's up to him to go out and perform behind a team that seems like they've got the goods to go a long way. So he's going to get a chance to prove it, and I don't doubt that he can, and he's got the talent to. He just has to go out and do it.
Well, you talk about the game against Tampa the other night, and look, you can point to a couple of those goals and say, okay, he could have played better, but ultimately, I'm not sure that it matters that he plays, but if he plays better in that game.
When they don't score a goal, no. obviously... They didn't provide the offense. They didn't show up in the first period. There was a lot of bad things in that game. But we don't know if it's a different game, if it stays scoreless through a large part of the second period, and maybe they break through and score a goal. I think your number one goalie, your goalie that's making that much money, that's supposed to be one of the elite goaltenders, at times when your team isn't playing well in front of you, you've got to elevate and kind of carry things and stand on your head a little bit and become that brick wall. And certainly you're going to have to do that in the playoffs. If your team doesn't have it for a period, you're just going to have to stop everything. And, he did it in the first and he got helped out. Patrice Bergeron blocked a shot at an empty net with his foot. But in the second, you can't give up goals like that. I just think that's one that was bad, and there's no getting around that.
All right. Before we let you go, I want to ask you about this because the Sedin twins are hanging it up.
Yeah.
I mean, look, if not for the 2011 Cup Finals, probably nobody around here really cares much about the – I mean, they certainly don't care about the Vancouver Canucks. And I would guess that a lot of people around here probably don't care much about the Sedin Twins.
I was having flashbacks to the Stanley Cup Finals in 2011 when the Sedin Twins were retiring and going out in a great way. And it was also Roberto Luongo's 1,000th game down in Florida. Yeah. You know, you had all kinds of players that were involved in those Stanley Cup in that Stanley Cup Final, which was a great one. And, you know, you had Marchand sending out the tweet afterwards saluting the Sedins for being great playmakers and for the career that they've had after he speed-bagged them in the 2011 Stanley Cup Final. Great players, great playmakers, great ambassadors to the game. You know, I voted for the King Clancy a couple years ago. I was one of the media members selected for that, and they give you packets of what the players all did for the community as part of that. And, you know, the stuff that the Sedins do in Vancouver that you don't hear much about is amazing. They've put a lot of money and time into the community there, and you know, that in addition to being great players and good people, I think you got to give them a lot of credit for that. They've been like the standard bearers in the NHL for almost 20 years, and to be able to play together as twins, to get it finagled that they were on the same team like it happened with Vancouver is just amazing. And maybe it came down to a situation, right, where obviously they both could have played if they wanted to, but they weren't going to be able to play together after this year. And they said, you know what, we're going to retire rather than go in our separate ways and just keep hanging on. So I give them credit for going out after a nice long run in Vancouver.
Yeah, I mean, tough to find a team that is going to be able to pay two matching contracts like that,
right? I don't
think
that package deal was going to be able to work if they were going anywhere else after Vancouver, no.
Appreciate you coming in. Good to see you. We'll see you next week to get the playoffs underway.
Can't wait.
Joe Haggerty, NBC Sports Boston. We will continue with another hour coming up on the Sports Hub Hockey Show and your calls at 617-779-0985 coming up after the headlines.
The Bruins, the NHL. This is the show that's all hockey.
He scores!
The Sports Hub Hockey Show with Ryan Johnston, Judd Sirai, and Bob Beers on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Hour number two here on the Sports Hub Hockey Show. Ryan Johnston, Judd Surratt, and Bob Beers with you until 11 o'clock. Billy Jaffe will be along coming up in about a half hour as well to look at the final. Well, today is effectively, except for
this is the last day of the regular season.
Of the season. It doesn't feel like it because there's one more to go after this for the Bruins, but this is the last day of the NHL season officially on the calendar. If not for Mother Nature, right, getting involved. So there's a lot of jockeying for positions going to go on in the standings, including, as we mentioned earlier, that matchup tonight between Colorado and St. Louis for the final wild card spot out in the West. You've got Philadelphia trying to clinch the final wild card spot in the East today against the Rangers, which has implications potentially for the Bruins and how they can approach this weekend. You got Tampa trying to, trying to win the division. They're at Carolina tonight, coming on a back to back on that one for Tampa, who played in Buffalo last night. So
Ryan, Derek McKenzie had mentioned, I think it was the first time we were down in Florida when we were talking about the game that got snowed out here, that two things came up to them when that happened. A, Florida's like, we got a chance to avoid the Bruins, who are on a roll at this point. You know, and for Florida, they were still on the verge of discovering their game. They've been hot since February started. And then the other thing he said is, well, I hope that game is not a must win for either team coming down to that last game of the season. And that is the case.
Right, because Florida's got to play tonight, too, right? So you got to, you know,
they got a Buffalo team.
Florida might know. They might be out of it by 7 o'clock tonight because of the afternoon game. But
right.
I said there's a lot of things that can happen today still. I mean, there's only one series that has been decided so far coming into the last day of the season.
Right.
It's just Winnipeg, Minnesota. That's the only series that has been decided. Everything else is still up in the air.
But the timing of that certainly could have worked in the Bruins' favor had that game been played and we not had a nor'easter at that point because The Bruins were smoking. They were on fire, and then you get a Florida Panthers team for the first time. Instead, you're going to face them, which is a very different team here in early April than the one you would have faced in early January.
So, Bob, let me ask you this as a player. Because Florida's playing Buffalo tonight. Obviously, Buffalo's way out of it.
In Florida.
The Bruins are playing in Florida, which I'd say that probably makes a little bit of a difference, right?
It does. If you're travel, yeah, sure.
Sure. Ottawa is here tonight. Obviously, they're out of it.
They played last night.
You got Philadelphia playing the Rangers. Obviously, they're out of it. If you are one of those teams, Buffalo, Ottawa, the Rangers, is this a everybody go out there and try not to get hurt heading into the postseason or heading into the offseason? Is this a, hey, let's go out and try and play spoiler and put it all on the line? This is our playoffs tonight. Like, what do you look at?
Ask guys who played for the Ottawa Senators 2 years ago against the Bruins in the last game of the season. That didn't mean anything for Ottawa. And the Bruins got smoked in that game. Remember?
Yeah,
right? Obviously.
Of course,
right?
We all remember. Yeah.
So anything can happen. I do believe that there's a bit of a difference with teams who have been out for a while and have been playing out the string for a while. They're kind of used to it. They're just kind of playing free and loose and going after it and, you know, having a little bit of fun trying to win games but they don't have the burden of are we going to make the playoffs or not. So a team that just got knocked out of it, you know what I'm saying?
We
just got knocked out of it.
Now, they're kind of in the
malaise,
team
I would expect a little letdown, big letdown. But the teams are just playing. I don't expect that at all. I expect, you know, they can be dangerous. You know, those are the types of teams that can be dangerous and win some games. I mean, they're out of the playoffs for a reason. They're not a good team this particular year, but at the same time, you know, they're not squeezing their sticks at all. They're just playing.
I watched a little bit of that Pittsburgh-Ottawa game last night, and to Bob's point, Ottawa was taking some chances. They were playing free and easy.
Buffalo had a 7-5 game against Tampa last night. Right. They were up 5-4.
So they're going to be gambling. There's going to be some chances both ways, and then obviously Pittsburgh was able to take command and
Ottawa's
shutting out the Ottawa
Senators. No Eric Karlsson, no
Mark Stone.
No Mark Stone. I mean,
Ben Harper got hurt last night. He separated his shoulder. So you're going to be missing some guys. But
doesn't matter.
Exactly.
Well, we see that. I mean, during the course of the season, we see night in and night out. You know, look, the worst teams in the league still are going to win, you know, 25 or 30 games a year.
Oh, and so. One other point, Ottawa is going to call up, Craig Anderson played last night. They're going to call up a kid from Belleville who is going to play, I think, only his fourth NHL game. I think it's Danny Taylor is his name, is going to play tonight in Boston.
Didn't affect Andrew Hammond a couple years ago either, so almost never to be heard from again.
the Hamburglar. Because I sit here during the course of weekends and, you know, with Mike Flynn, and we go through the NFL, and he talks about, you know, that last game of the season, when your team's out of it, oftentimes it's, you know, you're playing like you're playing in the Pro Bowl. It's like, let's just try not to get hurt. Let's go out there.
That's one game a week, though, you know.
Sure.
And it's different. These teams, like Buffalo's been out of it for how long? They've clinched last place overall in the East, right? I mean, or maybe overall, I'm not sure, but they've clinched last place. But they're playing kind of free and loose. They've beaten some good teams this year.
Yeah.
You know, including the Bruins. And they've long since been out of it.
And every team is a little bit different. I think if you're a young team, if you're a guy who's fighting for a contract, if you're fighting to win someone's opinion within the organization, that can change the way an individual plays on the ice in that particular game.
Yeah, they're trying to change things in Buffalo anyhow. I mean, you know, they're trying to, you know, Eichel's back and playing, and they've got this kid, Mittelstadt, who just signed with them, and they're trying to change that culture in Buffalo and trying to get. So I'm just using Buffalo as an example. But, you know, there's teams who are out of it that are in different places right now in terms of, you know, where they're at. So there's no way, let's put it this way, there's no way you can predict it. You know, Ottawa comes in here after losing last night. They got nobody in the lineup. You know, some of those top guys are not in the lineup right now. I shouldn't say nobody, but they don't have those top, you know, they don't have Eric Karlsson in their lineup. I think that changes a few things. And they're playing the last game of the season. But they came in here a few years ago and beat the Bruins. So there's no way to predict it.
And the fact that
play your game, play the way you need to in order to win. And I want to see the Bruins play that way here tonight. I wanted to see it Thursday. It didn't happen.
Sure.
Okay, so let's get it here tonight. And that's why, you know, fully expect, you know, would be surprised if Rask didn't play. We'll find out more in an hour or so, but be surprised if he didn't play, and be surprised if they kind of went the other direction and rested guys. That would be tomorrow, if anything.
And well, the Bruins, by the way, not to interrupt you, Ryan, they're going to have to keep their eyes. I think the Bruins fans should keep their eyes on the Carolina Hurricanes. They're going to be hosting the Tampa Bay Lightning. I don't believe Carolina played last night. It's been a gong show behind the scenes with ownership, Ron Francis getting fired. They can say whatever they want. That's what happened. They fired Ron Francis, the general manager. Yeah. Yeah, you run hockey operations, but the coach talks to me. He doesn't talk to you. What are they going to be like tonight? What are those guys going to be like on that team? Whether it's the restricted free agents that are playing, the unrestricted free agents, some of the young guys that might be Bill Peters' last game behind the bench for that team. He has an out clause, I believe, in his contract that could allow him to leave shortly after the season. So that's a wild card, but it's one that bears watching here tonight.
Well, and just from the Ottawa perspective, the fact that they've got, you know, some guys out and some younger guys are getting their, you know, getting an opportunity, you know those guys aren't going to be half-assing it tonight. I mean, those guys are, you know, are trying to, you know, as you said, you call up a goaltender for his fourth NHL appearance, like, you know he's going to be ready to go tonight. He's not going to be taking the night off. So let's go to Mark. Mark, you're up next here on the Sports Hub Hockey Show.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Morning.
All right. You know, it's Dano Chara, okay? He's been back for three games. It just so happens the Bruins lost three games, okay? I feel that the defense was playing better when he wasn't in the lineup. And don't get me wrong, as a fan, I appreciate and I thank Dano Chara for what he's done for this Boston Bruins team since he's been here. But I have a funny feeling that this game is just too fast for him now. And regarding his contract, I mean, do you think the Bruins was more like of a respect thing, offering him another year at $5 million? And with that, does he keep the captaincy, or does Patrice Bergeron become the captain next year?
I appreciate the call, Mark. I mean, if the game is too fast for Zdeno Chara, did it just become too fast in the last few weeks while he was out?
There's games where you can look at it and say, yeah, well, you know, he looks 40, 41 years old. And there's other games, the majority of games, where he's been very good this year. And credit him for the amount of work he's put into it on his footwork to be able to, you know, change his game and adapt his game to the way that it's played right now. He's not going to win a foot race with a guy, you know, some of the faster, younger guys. You're not going to win those foot races, but it's a matter of angles. It's a matter of, you know, your quickness down low, how quickly you can get to a corner, how quickly you can, you know, make sure that you keep a guy on the outside, how quickly you can close on him. There's different things and different aspects, and then he should be stronger. You know, he should be a good player around the front of the net as well. He has not been that good here since he's come back, but almost to be expected. Okay, get your footing back, get a few games under your belt, and be ready to go. He didn't miss that much time, but it was enough, I think, to affect it. So, and as far as the captaincy, I actually gave this a little bit of thought. I don't know if it'll happen or not. You know, back in the late 80s, it was if I'm not mistaken, it was Middleton and Bork were co-captains. You know, knowing that Middleton was kind of on his way, and it was towards the end of his career, right at the end of his career. You know, I could see a scenario anyhow that as a possibility where maybe, you know, co-captains.
Interesting. If there's a history of it in the organization too, that's interesting.
I'd have to do a little more research on it, but I could see that. I could see a possibility of that.
Here's the bigger question with Chara, and because of his age, I mean, you're about to start the playoffs where typically he's played upwards of, you know, 28 minutes, sometimes even longer than that a night. In the 2013 run, he played almost 30 minutes a night on average throughout the course of that playoff.
Well, that's because
run.
Of all the other guys you were missing.
Of
right?
course. You know, do you have any question that Zdeno Chara is going to be up for playing top 2 minutes in this postseason at age 40?
No, I mean, again, it depends on the type of games that you're playing too. I mean, if your forwards are doing the job and you got the puck on your stick and you got the puck in the offensive end, I mean, that's a lot different
easy
than
minutes.
Being stuck,
sure.
You know. And I think what you saw against Ottawa was he was forced to play a lot of the extra minutes that maybe he wouldn't have had to play before because he had other guys that were in the lineup. And if you're stuck inside your own zone and it's the second period and you can't get off the ice, you're going to have some of those longer shifts. But he's going to be well-conditioned. Is his timing going to be right? Is the rust going to be knocked off his game by Thursday? That's the big question. I mean, he's going to be in good enough shape. But even a guy that's in fantastic shape, that the game wears on you. And we saw, you know, you saw that when he got the puck on his stick and you know, in game five or something, and he's looking and, you know, he just doesn't have the legs to move up the ice, and he's trying to put it off the glass, and he's throwing it into the stands, and, you know, you're getting the delay of game penalties. I mean, that was a product of not having any depth. I shouldn't say any depth, but not having the NHL guys in the lineup because you were forced to use so many other guys in the playoffs the way that you had to last year because of all the injuries.
I also think it's the sum of the parts when it comes to Chara and McAvoy. It's that twosome that has worked so well together, the way that they are complementing one another. And as we talked about earlier with Charlie, he's still knocking some rust off his game. So I think both of them have to be able to do that here, hopefully in the last two games of the season before Thursday begins.
617-779-0985. We can get to more of your calls coming up next here on the Sports Hub Hockey Show.
The Sports Hub Hockey Show with Ryan Johnston, Judd Zerai, Bob Beers, the home of the Bees, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
617-779-0985 is the phone number for the Sports Hub Hockey Show. Ryan Johnston, Judd Zerai, and Bob Beers with you until 11 o'clock. Billy Jaffe will join us coming up in about 15 minutes as well. Before we get back into the Bruins and your calls, I want to mention this because the hockey world is a very small world, as many of you know. There was an accident up in Saskatchewan where a Saskatchewan Junior Hockey League team, the Humboldt Broncos, were traveling on their team bus, collided with a semi-trailer, 14 killed, another 14 injured, three of them critically is the report. They were on their way to a game. Just a horrific incident. And as I said, hockey world is a very small world. Seeing an outpouring of grief and support around the social media in the hockey world today, I can't even imagine. And, you know, unfortunately, these things, it comes with the territory of traveling. There have been other incidents over the years. The Russian team that was the entire team that perished a few years ago in a plane crash. I know, you know, people in the American Hockey League when I was there who were involved in a terrible bus crash with the Albany River Rats. They rolled over on the Mass Pike and had some significant injuries there. I know the broadcaster had some significant injuries that he had to deal with. It's unfortunate, and it's a risk that people take to be part of a game that we all love. So want to send out our thoughts and prayers to everyone affected by that as well, certainly. All right, on that note, 617-779-0985 is our phone number. We got Mike in the car. You're up next here on the Sports Hub Hockey Show.
Hey, guys. Definitely thoughts and prayers to the families. It's just a horrible tragedy. Kind of makes my segue a little, you know.
That's all right. You're going to get us back into the happy stuff, so.
All right. Well, you know, I was looking at the tiebreaker procedures for the best conference record, and I assumed that head-to-head would be the number one thing, but it's not. And I'm wondering if you can explain the logic behind it, because after reading it, I had no idea. And also, it's just, you know, to me, it's silly. Why have the rules the way they are?
Yeah, we were kind of joking about this earlier about the, you know, the NHL this week instituted the possibility of a tiebreaker game, which, as we learned, last happened in the WHA in, what was it, 73?
That's what we were told, yeah. WHA, 1973.
You know, it was not listed in the tie-breaking procedures that the league had put out there, but they didn't anticipate that everything could potentially wind up a tie. This is something that the league moved to a few years back, this regulation and overtime wins. When they brought the shootout in, you know, they give you 2 points for the shootout, but they want to, I guess, you know, they want to encourage teams to go for the win before it gets to the shootout. Is that part of the
just
deal?
Just that if you won games in shootouts, it shouldn't count as much. Even though you're getting the same amount of points, maybe it shouldn't count as much in another category. And this is the way that it was implemented. You know, regulation and overtime wins is the first tiebreaker. And there's a separate category. If you look at the standings, it's called, you know, it's ROW, R-O-W. Regulation and overtime wins. That is the first tiebreaker that they look at now, and then it's head-to-head. But then there's another scenario with head-to-head, because if you play a team five times, there's three games. So let's just say, for instance, yeah, you know, it's the Bruins and Tampa, even though it's not this year. They only played four. But if they did play five times, which some teams do, one of those games would get thrown out.
Right, because they don't want to reward you from having three home games versus
first,
two road games.
The
right?
First home game that you played against that particular team gets thrown out. So it's the two home games, the second two home games plus their two home games. That's the head-to-head that's used. NHL.
Yeah. Yeah. And again, even with all that in place, they still could potentially end up with a scenario where all the tiebreakers ended up tied.
And here's the thing, that if the Bruins and the Lightning ended up in a tie, and I don't even know if they can. They can't, it was points-wise, but I don't know if they can in wins and regulation overtime. I think they can. The Bruins would win that tiebreaker because they beat Tampa 3 out of 4 times this year.
Right. The Bruins are behind in row by 2 right now, and they're behind by 2 points.
So. All right, you really want to do a deep dive in this? Start thinking back to the Bruins' performance early in the season in overtime. And some of the games that happened, Bruce Cassidy had mentioned, I mean, this had to be almost midway through the season because we had a huge chunk of games that did not go to overtime. He was not, what did he say about our overtime record and the way that we're playing? It stinks.
Right.
It stinks the way they've played. Now, obviously, they've turned it around. A lot of that has to do with Brad Marchand. But you start to think back to some of those games early in the season. Could you have done a better job of maybe getting yourself even into the shootout or winning a game against the LA Kings, against the Buffalo Sabres? I think there was a game against the Dallas Stars that happened a little bit later in the season. I don't know. You know, for me, 3-on-3 should not be a part of it. It should be regulation wins. That's what it should be.
Well,
you do across 60 minutes.
We've talked about this over the years about the, you know, what you would call the loser point coming into play. And if you look at some of the races to try to get into the playoffs, Philadelphia's got 14 overtime losses. Florida has 8. And guess what? Philly's up on them by 4 points. You know, that 6 points, those 6 extra trips to overtime and that they lost are going to probably be the difference between making the playoffs and not making the playoffs. You know, and that oftentimes is the case. I mean, a team like the Bruins, even, who has had the success that they've had, they got 12 loser points this year. You know, that's a significant number. That's a big difference. If you take that out of the standings, that's a big difference over the course of 82 games.
Yeah, I mean, you know, argument for another time, but
sure.
there's a lot of people out there that would love to see, you get a 3 points for a win in regulation.
Right, make every game worth 3 points, right? Three for a regulation
win.
2-1 if you go to, to overtime and shootout,
so,
right?
You know, there's people, and I think that they do that over in Europe and some leagues over there, and you know, it would throw the point system all out of whack in terms of, the history of the game and, where points are. But you've already kind of done that anyhow by giving, extra points when you lose. So, like I said, argument for another time and something that can be debated. But, it is what it is right now. Use the system to your advantage. And when you get close games, late in games, make sure you get them to overtime if you need points.
It is. I don't have the record in front of me, but I believe the Lightning have won 9 games in overtime this year. The Bruins have won 6. That's going to be the difference, potentially.
Mm.
Potentially could be the difference at the end of 82 games. Do you want 3-on-3 to determine playoff positioning rather than regulation across 82 games? That seems to me to be a very easy answer.
By the way, the answer to the question that Bob raised, if Tampa Bay wins in a shootout tonight and the Bruins win in regulation their last 2 games, they would finish up even in points, even in row.
Yeah, so
and the Bruins would win the tiebreaker for
because
head-to-head.
They've won 3 out of 4.
Yes, that's the only way that could happen is if Tampa wins in a shootout tonight. All right, Sean Silver is going to give us Sports Hub headlines, and then Billy Jaffe will join us coming up in our final half hour next here on the Sports Hub Hockey Show.
Press the right pad, Sam. Let's go!
The Sports Hub Hockey Show on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
It's the Sports Hub Hockey Show. Ryan Johnston, Judd Surratt, Bob Beers with you until 11 o'clock. And as we do each week at this time, we welcome in now Billy Jaffe.
Morning.
Good morning, Billy.
How are you guys doing?
You excited? Playoffs are days away.
Yeah.
Last weekend.
Get through this weekend.
Grinding through the last weekend.
Grind through this, baby. And then I can't wait for playoffs, of course. A different feel, obviously. Last year, the team made the playoffs. Plethora of injuries. 4 of the top 6 D-men out but as the series went on. But this year feels different for obvious reasons. Yes, I'm excited for playoffs. But after this grind, these two.
Well, that's the key. Last year, it was like, okay, they made the playoffs. If they had advanced beyond that, it kind of felt like gravy. This year, it feels like, know, this team has felt special for a while now, and it feels like they have a chance to really make some noise and go deep.
If their depth gets back, and I heard you guys earlier in the morning talking about the unknown of Rick Nash, the unknown of Riley Nash, Sean Crowley, etc. They missed that fourth line identity. That third line was, you know, when they were together for, what was it, two games, I think, before Riley got hit in the ear with Backes and Heinen. That seemed to, that's that comfortable third line. It's a tough match for other teams, and it's a good match for the Bruins. They can put those guys out there against opponents' better line. So they get that depth back. Still like them a lot. I like this team a lot because of the camaraderie, of the compete, and especially because of the depth of this team.
It's, you know, it's almost, I won't necessarily say it's a surprise, but I think it flies under the radar for a lot of people how much a guy like Riley Nash, and I don't think a lot of people would have thought about this back at the beginning of the season, how much a guy like Riley Nash has been able to do for this team and how important he really is for this team.
Well, he had it's not a breakthrough season. He had some decent seasons with Carolina, but he found himself in a situation when everybody got healthy, and even when Bergeron went out, when he wasn't healthy, he stepped up in an area, in a type of system where he was touching the puck more, where he was very comfortable. He got his offensive game going at a higher level. He always said, last year I remember talking about his offensive game, and he always said, I can put up some points, I'm not doing enough of it. And I felt like at times last year he was not as confident in his game and himself. This year, for some reason, it clicked, and his confidence level, I don't know if you guys remember, it was much, much earlier in the season, and I think it was when the Bruins were struggling. There was a goal-mouth scramble where Riley Nash ended up scoring, but it took the third whack at it, I think, in the first one or two. He whiffed it, and I think he put it into the goalie or into the post, and remember he looked up to the rafters, and then he put his stick back down, and he scored that goal again. That, to me, epitomized Riley Nash, and almost since then, he's been more confident.
Well, yeah, it's even a little bit more than that, too. I mean, you know, that could be like a moment for him, but it was... So the beginning of the season, you get Bergeron, who's out injured. They ask him to play, you know, top line. They ask him to play center on that line, and the confidence wasn't quite there. And, okay, play the bumper on the power play, and, you know, you get all these responsibilities kind of thrown at him all at once. And I think it was a little bit too much, you know, or at least it seemed like it. So as the season goes on and Bergeron comes back and everybody slots into their proper spots, he ends up anchoring that third line, and all of a sudden it's him, Backes, and Heinen, and they're on fire. They're playing some really good hockey. That's where the confidence really came, when he was playing on that line. So when they gave him the opportunity to go back up there when Bergeron got hurt again, they didn't put him on the power play. He's still killing penalties, and they just played him in the 5-on-5 situations with that line. You know, not too much responsibility, but some good and he responded in a great way. I mean, when Bergeron was hurt, I mean, he had some really good games.
Now,
can you sustain that? I don't know. I mean, that's probably not. I mean, in the long run, you that third line is where he's perfectly slotted right now, and if you've got that, and you've got Corrali on the fourth line, and you've got Bergeron and Krejci in your top two, now your strength down the middle. They don't have that right now.
No.
And Nash is a big part of it.
Yep.
Well, early in the season, he was challenged, as I remember. And because of all the injuries, obviously he was moved up into the lineup. But at the beginning of the season, I think internally the coaching staff said, you know, hey, you can – obviously you could be a fixture on the fourth line. Is that really what you want to be? Can you provide more? There's some more offense to your game. Let's see if you can bring it. And ultimately across the season, he was able to answer that challenge.
All right, we bring you in here oftentimes to talk about other stuff, though, besides the Bruins.
Anything you want to talk about.
Well, tiebreakers.
Tiebreakers. Oh, God. putting aside the potential of a tiebreaker game later this week, we've got essentially that going on tonight in St. Louis and Colorado.
Yes.
Out west. If
they flew their goalie out there the day before, like they did our pitcher. Jake Allen got sent from St. Louis to Colorado.
Instead of going to Chicago.
Right. He went on his own. I'm assuming they put him up front. If they really like him, they put him in first class. If not, he's flying. It's maybe Southwest between those two.
He better perform tonight.
Yes. He better. Boy, something got into his head this year.
This year?
Well, really, it came out this year because he played very well early on in the season. He got himself in a good place early on in the season. It was like, okay, finally Jake Allen is playing to the level they hoped, and then he hit a proverbial wall, and it was like, oh my. And now you look at him and you say, is he damaged goods? Tonight, I think, is going to be a major moment for him. Not so much St. Louis Blues, because I thought they were better. Obviously, they weren't. They got some issues there still. They had some big injuries during the season. Fabry didn't play, et cetera. But regardless of that, Jake Allen, to me, if he crumbles tonight, oh, God, I think there's issues there.
If you were a betting man,
okay,
all right, St. Louis and Colorado. I mean, Colorado has come on in the second half of the season, and just to make a case to get into the playoffs and have an opportunity on the last day of the season to get in would be, you know, a hell of a comeback for them and a pretty good story, actually, versus St. Louis, who is a team that I think a lot of people would have looked at it earlier, you know, like, they're really coming down to game number 82 just to try and get into the playoffs?
Yeah. The interesting thing for Colorado is that they don't have their top goaltender or top defenseman anymore. Semyon Varlamov injured 5 days ago, 6 days ago, ruled out for the season. Johnson is at least 6 weeks, maybe even more. Regardless, he's not playing in this game. His time frame doesn't matter. My inclination, I keep saying I'm going to go with the team that has an extra day rest, is playing at home, and is the story, one of the nice stories of the NHL, Jared Bednar, the coach there, who had a cruddy year last year in Colorado, has had a nice year this year. With all that said, they're missing Semyon Varlamov and they're missing Eric Johnson. If I had to bet, I'd still give a few shekels to Colorado. I would tonight. I'd give them the. But they have to win a regulation.
Right.
They have to win a regulation. So that's going to be the interesting thing.
Right. If you weren't with us for that discussion earlier, because of the tiebreaker,
right?
An overtime win doesn't do it.
Nope.
Any point tonight for St. Louis gets them into the postseason, which is, as Bob Beers mentioned earlier, you could potentially see a team in a tie game have to pull their goaltender tonight to try to get the 2 points.
They absolutely will.
Yeah.
I mean, they absolutely will, and it will be, as far as hockey goes, fun. I don't know about must-see, but fun-see TV. I will look forward to that.
All right, Billy Jaffe is joining us here in studio. We will go around the NHL with him some more and start to we don't really know the series yet. And, you know, going into the last day of the season, we don't really know who's going to be playing who, but we'll talk about some of the teams and their chances coming up in the playoffs with Billy next here on the Sports Hub Hockey Show.
This is where Boston talks hockey. The Sports Hub Hockey Show on the home of the Bees, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
98.5 The Sports Hub. And the Sports Hub Hockey Show, Ryan Johnston and Billy Jaffe suddenly alone because the guys have headed off for morning skate. So
it's a very far distance for them to travel.
It is.
Around the corner, yes. I'll be dashing over there, too. Before we get to, can we do a few other non-NHL things?
Yeah, I was actually going to mention a couple of college things here.
Okay.
Number one, I want to congratulate Adam Gaudette.
Yes,
Northeastern wins the Obie Baker.
Part of the God Squad, as he calls it, the God Squad.
Defeated Ryan Donato, among the finalists in that one as well, but well-deserved. Hell of a season.
Unbelievable. I'm talking 30 goals. The only guy, you know, in 60-plus points. Team obviously did not get the team accomplishment they wanted, having lost to in the first round of the Northeast Regional to Michigan, but a tremendous season individually, and has made a nice NHL debut. Last couple was part of the game that last game the other night that Henrik and Daniel Sedin played in. What a moment! What a theatrical moment that was.
The overtime game winner, one Sedin to another. I mean, it can't end any better than that.
The whole game was. I didn't get to catch all of it, but the whole game. If you go back and watch it, and if you look at the numerical, coincidences or consistency, it's amazing. They scored goals. The first goal of the game, I don't have it in front of me, forgive me, it was like at like 2:33 or something. The overtime goal, was at 2:33, which is really, if you add the third period, is 22:33, and that's the numbers of the
scenes.
Everything they did in this game had the numbers 22 and 33 directly associated with it, both that they did and the numbers in the clock. Eerie.
Right.
Very
and
eerie.
There was like, I mean, I saw it went even so far as like the shots on goal were 55 shots on goal,
right.
Which
it was
22 and 33.
It was broken down into 33 and 22.
Yeah.
It was weird, but what a moment. So yeah, going back to Adam, congratulations, Adam. Got a chance to get to know him a bit. Congratulations to him and all the, you know, looks, we had some good college hockey here this year. Coach Quinn at BU, Coach Madigan, Coach York, even though the BC Eagles didn't make it. You know, and obviously Coach Donato, proud, and we got some other great hockey here too. You know, I mean, Don't ever look past going to Babson and seeing what Jamie Rice has done. Done over there. Take a look at that. We've had some excellent college hockey in this area. And for anybody I've left out, forgive me. I'm not trying to be.
I mean, for those down in Providence, Nate Lehman put together a hell of a
Norm
program
Basin.
Down there.
They struggled a little bit this year, which is so odd to say about what they did up at Lowell. But very fortunate to have all of these great programs and coaches in this area.
And Frozen Four championship game is tonight. Minnesota Duluth and Notre Dame in St. Paul. Who do you think's got the home ice advantage there?
Oh, boy. Those Duluth people travel well to some phenomenal players. Scott Sandlin's the head coach of Minnesota Duluth, and I've known Scott a while. What a job he's done there. This was not supposed to be as good a year for them. They lost some players to graduation. You're seeing some of their players now trickle into the NHL already from the last year or two. But yet, here he is again in the NCAA championship game. Jeff Jackson, head coach of Notre Dame. It's a different style. They play more of a pro style at Notre Dame. Jeff kind of controls the forwards, let his D-men actually go a bit. Notre Dame tied up. Michigan was winning, long story short, in the semifinal game. They go 3-3 late in the third period. And with 10 or 11 seconds left, Notre Dame makes a seemingly regular breakout out of their own zone. They get the puck into the offensive zone. They get the puck on net with 3 or 4 seconds left, and they score a goal that I'm going to tell you was not a great goal that went in from the Michigan goaltender perspective. But give Notre Dame credit. They've been number one, number two, number three all year. This is their first year as a member of the Big Ten.
Look, obviously the Bruins are playing tonight. That's where a lot of people will be focusing. Check in on that Frozen Four game because it's a really fun brand of hockey.
Yeah.
And those kids, single elimination, the whole
basketball tournament,
the whole
ice.
Championship on the line for one game is awesome. All right, NHL playoffs will begin later this week. Obviously, we'll be focusing on the Bruins for that. But size up the Eastern Conference for me, Billy. As you look at, the teams that are we know: Washington, Pittsburgh, Columbus, New Jersey are all in. Philadelphia should be in. So five teams from the Metro, assuming there isn't some rabbit pulled out of the hat by the Florida Panthers, Tampa Bay, Boston, Toronto. If you had to kind of handicap it and say, this is what I would expect to see in the Eastern Conference Final, let's say, who do you think is the class of this Eastern Conference?
I'd love to see Pitt and Boston.
I think a lot of people would love to see that.
I'd love to see the Penguins and the Bruins.
Let's back up even further than that. Washington Capitals haven't been able to accomplish that.
Well,
right?
I don't know if we have enough time on.
Well,
this show.
I don't.
That's why we need another show. We do, with the playoffs coming. That's why we need another show. Extra time. We got to make that happen. All right.
All right.
The listeners would like that.
I'll get on that.
I'm working on it.
Okay.
Don't you worry. That was called a tease right there. I think the Washington Capitals, are they ready to take that step past Pittsburgh? Well, it looks like that they obviously won't have to face them until the second round. If it plays out and it ends up being Pittsburgh against Columbus, Columbus is playing really well. I still think Pitt. I see Pitt winning that series. You get Washington playing New Jersey. Boy, I tell you what, New Jersey could give them a tough time with their speed.
Is New Jersey a sneaky tough team? Because a lot of when you look at the Bruins and potential opponents, there was a time and it looked like if the Bruins win the division, they could wind up playing New Jersey. People that are afraid of New Jersey.
They are because they play a very disciplined style, but yet then they are aggressive as all heck. I mean aggressive. But they're when they come back in numbers, they're fast and they regroup quickly. I would say that the big question mark for them is Keith Kincaid. Is he going to be the starter? It looks like it right now instead of Corey Schneider. Schneider's not right. He got injured against the Bruins in late January. He hasn't gotten to be himself since then. Keith Kincaid has taken over. Can Keith Kincaid lead a team to a win in the playoffs? That's yet to be seen. But I do respect this team an awful lot, and I think that they can, with their quickness and their quick transition up the ice, I think they can get to some teams. In a perfect world, this is what I see in the after the first round. I see Tampa against Boston, and I see Washington against Pitt. Now that's just going with the house numbers, right?
Sure.
There. So does it usually play out that way? No. How many teams last year that were the number one seed in their conference made it to the Stanley Cup? Zero.
if you were, and again, we've talked a lot this year, obviously, about Tampa Bay and Toronto.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm kind of focusing on the Metro Division. What about Philadelphia?
No.
They can't give Washington a go?
Not yet. I mean, they'll win a game or two, but, you know, you're talking Brian Elliott just coming back. I just don't see the depth on that team after their first, you know, Voracek is awesome. Giroux, MVP worthy this year. Couturier, et cetera. Simmons. You got, and then I really like the kid Travis Konecny a lot. To me, he's a right-handed younger version of Marchand. I do. I think that he can have an impact on the game in the next few years like Brad does. Goaltending and defense. I love the kid Provorov, young, good defenseman. He's going to be a hell of a defenseman. I don't think their defensive depth is great yet, and I don't see them going past the first round. If they do, their goaltending is going to not have to be very good or great. It's going to have to be great to spectacular. I don't know if Mrazek or Elliott has it in them.
There is a possibility Columbus, who is right now in third in the Metro, could end up finishing eighth. They could end up being the second wild card by the end of the day. There's only 1 point separating those three teams. Columbus is a
Funny team.
It's an odd team.
They're really hot right now. Really hot. The good addition of Ian Cole, Mark Letestu, and Vanek. Vanek has worked really well for them. They're a heavier team, and I think in the playoffs they can give a team a hard time. Bobrovsky, it's funny. First half of the year, it was Vasilevsky and Bobrovsky is your Vezina. In my opinion, It was those two. Bobrovsky has been uncharacteristically average at times. For him, that's still good, but it's not anything where it needs to be. So where does he end up being? We'll see. Werenski and Seth Jones lead a better than understood D crew. Up front, they're getting goal scoring right now. Here's the thing with this team. It seems to be incredibly streaky. Are they going to be able to stay on this good streak, or are they on just one of those, if it goes away a little bit, then they go back to the bad area, and that's never good with Tortorella behind the bench.
What time are you guys on tonight?
We are on at 6 o'clock tonight, 6 o'clock pregame against Ottawa. Tomorrow, we have a 7:30 game. Remember, it's half an hour later than normal. We are on at 6:30. Tomorrow night. So full hour pregames both today and tomorrow.
All right. We'll be looking for you on that, and we'll talk to you next week. Playoffs. Big,
and, of course, a huge, huge – I know you brought it up quickly before I came into the Humboldt Broncos. It's a way of life on buses. I saw it late going to bed and then woke up, and I know a lot of guys that have played out there. I remember getting a letter from the organization when I was 17 years old, you know, if interested in going out there and playing a whole different way of life out there. How it happens is unimaginable and devastating to think about that team and that community. So
the community
is,
which is, I think Humboldt's a town of like 6,000 people or something like that lives and dies with a team like that.
They were going to a semifinal game in their league in the Saskatchewan Junior League, and it's just shocking. So everything you could wish good and hope and pray for them.
All right, we will wrap up this edition of the Hockey Show. Back for the playoffs to start by next weekend. Enjoy the games tonight.